Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and we only got 4 hours to do everything we got to do today, guys. It's like not enough. All this stuff going on, obviously, the draft, we're ticking down. Key, you're out in Vegas getting ready. To like out there right now?
Well, it's dark right now, and it's about a million people on the streets. But other than that, pretty good. I had a good day yesterday. Went to the mall, bought me some shoes. You know, had a nice lunch, had a nice dinner, watched the Golden State Warriors take care of business, ran into several people that were former ESPN employees that work at other stations and stuff now. So you kind of have a little conversation here and there. But other than that, it was great. I'm excited for tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. I can't wait to dial in for the draft. Oh, man, it's going to be exciting.
Jay, the more I think about, I mean, first of all, the Bulls and the Bucks last night, Giannis going off. There's so much to get into. And as Key mentioned, the draft, it's like guys are going to be picking, teams are going to be picking in the 20s and feeling like they got a top 10 pick because there's so many sort of interchangeable parts.
Yeah, I just want to say a big congratulations to all the new young millionaires out there that are about to come today. Like it's for me, a day like this is like Christmas Day, right? Any draft, NBA draft, NFL draft, because we'll break down where guys fit on different rosters, if this takes a roster over the hump. But getting a chance to see guys and their families and what that moment means to them, where you worked your entire life to achieve something, it's almost surreal. Like, you don't believe it when you hear your name called. Watching those type of expressions, man, like, that's relatable to me because we all dream dreams, right? But for the chance for it to actually happen, to see that actually occur tonight, that's what it's all about.
Did you have snot bubbles when you got drafted, Jay?
I had it all, Key. It was all on the side of the new suit, the 5X suit that I had on. I mean, but also watching my mom cry, watching my dad cry, watching all these people at my table, I'm like, who the hell are you? Where did you come from? I got an accountant. I got a CEO. I got an agent. Like, how do I even formulate this team? It was just different, man. It was a range of emotions.
You had a team.
You had a team.
Yes.
You had a legit team. Like, Key, taking calls from my, like, having my agent reach over and grab me and be like, they're moving. They're doing this. Like, during the process of it, had me so anxious. Like, you already knew where you were going to be. So you were probably fine. But, like, I didn't know if I was going to be 1, 2, 3, if I was going to slip, what Yao Ming was doing. So there was a lot of anxiety involved in that process.
Sitting in the green room, you know, taking a look at everybody, you can feel people looking at you. And as the clock start to tick away and people get real quiet and things move, as soon as somebody phone would ring, people would jump. You're like, man, this draft haven't even started yet. What the hell y'all doing? You know?
But also, like, when you were in college, you were the guy. But this was different because when you were taking the drop, now you're the guy. Like, now you see what being the guy at that next level is and the kind of attention you get along with that. It was a game changer.
Oh, you're the queen of the ball in the green room, though.
It's different.
I'm trying to think how many people was back with us. It might have been about 40. Because they brought in the second round guys at the same time. But if you want a 40 in that green room, you know you hit pay dirt. Mm-hmm. You know you're okay. You're going to be all right financially. Now it's all about what teams you go to now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys.
What city?
Very few who ever lived experienced what you guys experienced, which is succeeding at the highest level on one level and then being at the very top, you know, in terms of the incoming guys on the next level. A lot of moms going to have new cars and houses after today, right? Like, a lot of stuff's about to change. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Guys, the Warriors get by the Nuggets. Now, we all expected. That was tighter than I thought it would be without Jamal Murray and Porter Jr.
Yeah, but they Denver was going to fight, though. You know they was going to fight. I mean, they weren't just going to lay down, even though in the end, it wasn't nothing they could do.
Gentlemen sweep in the end. Right. However they got there, it was 4-1. I mean, that is taking care of business if you're the Warriors. But listen, Steph Curry is playing on a team where Klay was out for a significant, like, coming off a catastrophic injury. He's getting older. Dre's getting older. Steph's coming off an injury. KD's not there anymore, right? What there seems to be to me a lot on the line for Steph in his legacy. And when I say that, Key, I could feel it already before you jump down my throat. When I say that, it's like I think of both outcomes. If he doesn't get it done, is his legacy going to get worse? No, it's not going to get worse, but now compare it to what happens if he does. What if the Warriors go all the way this year and Steph wins finals MVP and all that stuff? It gets enhanced. It does. There's stuff on the line.
Look, anytime you're a great player and you add hardware, as you know, Jay, to what you already have, it's just another piece of a conversation to be had. If he does not, it's like, oh, well, he didn't win. But he's already got chips. He's already got MVPs of the regular season. The finals MVP is great, okay, but it's not the end be all for Steph Curry. Not at all whatsoever. He changed the game. You see that shot right there? Bang!
Yeah, he changed the game.
Nobody else was doing that. Nobody else was doing this. That shot that he just launched right there, that's a shot with 2 seconds to go before the half. We just need to hit the point and get out of there.
He changed the way the game is.
This is now, Jay, a regular play up and down the court for him.
He changed the way the game is played, no doubt, Jay. But when you're talking about this rarefied air, stuff like winning a finals without KD or being finals MVP matters.
So let me wake everybody's ass up today. It's Thursday, right? Friday is on the verge tomorrow. We got the draft tonight. We got a lot of big-time games tonight. We'll see Philly play tonight. We saw Steph play last night. But let me make it easy for everybody. His legacy is already set because he's the most revolutionary player the game of basketball has ever seen. You put him up in that category.
Yeah, he's in
the conversation.
He's
changed the geometry of how you see the court in the game. Think about Jordan Poole, who's on this team. Jordan Poole is doing phenomenal things. Who is Jordan Poole carbon copy of to a degree? Steph Curry. Drake, Steph Curry with the shot. It creates so much more spacing. So my thing is, if Steph Curry is able to get a fourth championship, this one without Kevin Durant, because KD stole a lot of the shine, right? Even though in those finals, I mean, he averaged 27 to 28. Even your finals MVP argument, Max, in that finals where Iggy got it, he averaged 26 on 49% shooting from the field and 6.5 assists per game. Those are finals MVP numbers if he wasn't on the court with maybe the second greatest player to ever play the game of basketball.
Right.
But I think if he's able to get another one, he cracks the top 10 greatest of all time players conversation. He cracks it.
I agree.
Like, there's no more debate.
Like, see, that's the thing. Because there's just not a lot of room in the top 10, especially for a dude 6'3". He's the greatest 6'3" or under player who ever lived, right?
Yes, you wouldn't recognize him if he was walking down the street in New York with a Yankees cap on. You'd be like, oh, that's just a normal dude.
Right. He is it's a sport that selects out for size, and he doesn't have it compared to the other all-time greats, and yet he's right there. But the fact is, that first one, there was no Kyrie, no Kevin Love on the other team.
See?
It still went six
games. Always poking holes. Here it comes. I know.
I'll be real. Then they collapsed. Then they won. Then they won back-to-back with KD.
I hear you.
So I'm saying, to me, it's a big thing, Key. Why? No.
It's not. No matter how you get your championships, Max, you got them. You can't all of a sudden start saying, well, if Kareem wouldn't have got hurt in 82, then Magic Johnson wouldn't have. You can't do that.
You're right about his greatness.
I don't think Golden State feels that way.
Yeah.
I think Golden State, and I hear what Key's point is, but I think there's so much for Golden State to prove, in particular with Steph, Klay, and Dre, because of how everything went down with Kevin Durant. Trust and believe, when KD left Golden State, there was a huge exhale. Like, whew, all right. Now it's time for us to find out what this core is really about again. Like, so something 100%. For them to prove.
There's no questioning his greatness, Kian. You are absolutely right. Just the question is Magic, Bird, and these guys are who you're comparing them to. So, you know, it's not enough just to be amazing. Everything you add to it helps you. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to continue the conversation, this one, throughout the morning. We want you to tell us, does Steph Curry have anything to gain with another title? And by the way, who has the most to gain by winning a title? James Harden, Chris Paul.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yo, Key, what is this about? They're naming a pizza after you somewhere?
Yeah, in Houston. I'm in Houston next week. So they're naming a pizza. So what happens is, what's going to happen is we're going to have callers, people call in and chime in on what the pizza should actually be. You know, the toppings, things of that nature. I think this all got started because me and Jay were in Chicago and we went by Tupac's Pizza Place. In Chicago, and had a nice, me and Evan had a nice deep dish. So I think that that kind of, what was it, Illuminati's?
Illuminati's.
Yeah, so we went to Illuminati's in Chicago, and now Key's going to Houston.
Yep.
As part of the tour, and the St. Arnold Brewery wants to name a pizza after Key. And we literally asked Key, what would you want on his pizza? And, he danced around it. He had a couple different options. I was like, why don't we just throw it out to the caller? So we need to know, what would a pizza named after Key have on it?
Key.
Like, we've thrown around some ideas, like maybe some salmon, maybe a little lox, maybe some avocado, like Key's from California, some guacamole. We don't know. We don't know what Key would want on a pizza.
What would you have on your pizza? Let's ask him. Key, yeah, what do you have on your pizza?
Well, for me, I would put... You know, I probably have bacon, sausage, salami,
extra meat pizza,
artichokes, arugula salad. That's probably what I would have. Damn,
that's not a pizza. That's a salad.
Yeah, what that?
That's
what,
not you, a,
he
not
just
a pizza.
Asked me, what do I want on
that's
my pizza?
Not a
arugula on a pizza.
Arugula? Is that like, does that have health?
It's a vegetable.
I knew a friend of mine on a diet used to go to a salad place, and he would... He would get like, oh, yeah, you could put like pasta in it, and then he would just have them, he would just wind up with a bowl of pasta, right? He'd have them hold everything except the pasta. It's like, that's not a salad. But is that even a pizza anymore?
So you don't really, your pizzas is just the plain Jane. That's pretty much it, right?
I would do sausage and peppers and onions, that's
the pretty much plain Jane. But what has happened over time, Wolfgang Puck, the famous chef, morphed into bringing different styles of pizzas in the 80s to the States. And he created all these special pizzas that had all this different stuff on it. So that's where the evolution of these fancy pizzas came from, was Wolfgang Puck. So when you say arugula and artichokes and things of that nature, it's totally different than a normal pie that you would buy at the local
What does Wolfgang Puck know about food?
It just sounds like it's one of those things where you try to add a splash of something healthy to make yourself feel better about you eating something not healthy.
Well, that's just like
a splash of arugula
juice
on there.
Yeah,
that's
like the arugula.
I feel good about my meal today.
Detox is a green juice with tequila in it.
Key was like sausage, pepper, and arugula.
And arugula.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max.
Bigger disappointment, Nets or Lakers, Kathy in Tennessee?
The Lakers. This is the worst team ever. And it starts with the general manager. You allow a player to come into L.A. land and make our team the worst ever? It's disappointing. They don't deserve to wear purple and gold. They do not represent the city of L.A. at all.
Okay. Mm. Kathy must be from L.A. to move down to Tennessee.
They just won a championship a couple of years ago.
I mean, got chipped up 2 years ago.
That's what I'm saying, Key. It's that love hate that quick, huh?
With what, the Lakers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you're from L.A., though, man, and it don't look right, it's just she's down in Tennessee living, and she's probably from L.A. I should have asked her. She's probably from L.A.
100% she's from L.A.
Yeah, I can tell in her tone she's from L.A., and whenever she go at Westbrook, who's from L.A., you can feel that Laker passion in her voice.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers were presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, the Steph Curry thing that we just discussed, does Steph have anything to gain with another title? And who has the most to gain by winning a title? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Meantime, you guys see Odell Beckham Jr.? Seems to have listed his Ohio house for sale.
First off, is that like a storage facility? Because it didn't seem like a house. All I saw was this man's closet, and I was like, is that a Foot Locker? I am unsure.
Listen to what it has. First of all, 3.3 is nothing to sneeze at, right? But in New York or LA or someplace like that, that's one thing. Listen to this, Key. What 3.3 gets you where Odell is at Columbia Station, Ohio, okay? Look at that. First of all, we're showing that's a closet.
That's a Foot Locker.
It's an airline hanger.
That's a Foot Locker at the mall.
I don't keep enough shoes to have that.
Key, 13,800 square feet. He got a gym, a theater, a golf simulator, a pool with a slide, a custom dog kennel. He's got that sneaker closet. Key, that's got to be in the basement somewhere. He didn't build that. Come on.
Yeah, it's what? Probably – I was trying to look at the ceiling to tell me – it kind of looks like it might be in the basement and he kind of put it together, but it looked fresh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – but I don't have enough shoes, Jay, to fill up a half a wall. I got 10 pairs of shoes in my closet, maybe.
Hold on, put that picture back up here. The shoes are all color coordinated.
Yeah.
Look how they just lines.
You think he does that or got someone to do it for him?
Oh, yeah, somebody doing that. You think OBJ's going to be in the closet?
Yeah, sometimes if you have that fresh collection, you like to mess with it.
He might be meticulous, not that meticulous.
Yeah.
No, he meticulous, not that. Somebody probably organized it for him.
You imagine that person?
I don't think they're doing it on a daily basis. I think he might. You know, he knows where to put his shoes at.
You imagine now
who comes and dusts it? You know it's going to get dusty in there. He
what's
come
your
dust
job?
Them.
Well, I just arrange OBJ's shoes
I
on
dust
a daily
the
basis.
Shoes. I dust the shoes. I dust the shoes once a week.
Who did you sign with coming out of Duke?
Same as you, man. I was with Adidas.
So, yeah, but
your rookie contract, that's not that. Like you get an allotment. Rookie contract. What kind of contract did you? You got that? Your rookie contract?
Yeah, for sure.
See,
we'll have a different conversation off air about that. But
how did you not get that? You're a basketball player. You're supposed to get hooked up with sneakers, of all things.
That seems like 1,000 pair of shoes.
Jay,
what are y'all talking about?
Jay, you were a live, springy handles basketball player playing for the primetime marquee brand. You were the player of the year twice.
Jay,
you were the national champ.
I didn't come out here having
not a seven-footer, so you sell sneakers. How did you not have that deal?
I hear, but at 20 years old, I didn't have a house that looked like Elon Musk's house.
Who was representing you?
Bill Duffy.
What kind of sneaker deal did you get?
Oh, I had a great sneaker deal.
But you got to remember, Jay, he got the shoe deal from Nike when he was with the Giants. So getting an allotment of shoes, that's nothing. Look, man, Jay, you got an allotment of shoes. They send you shoes on a constant basis. You get boxes after boxes. You can order how you want to order.
This is where y'all tripping, though. All those aren't just his shoes from shoe contracts, man. Have you seen any of this footage out there on social media about OBJ and about being a shoe junkie? He's a shoe head.
Yeah, but he got action. He got action with the swoosh. He can go get any shoe he want that the swoosh make. Cause he OBJ. He can go get any shoe.
He buying shoes at high clips now, man.
I bet you he ain't buying them.
Okay.
Do you want to finish hearing what he has in this house?
Yes.
You got a barbershop in the house. That's smart, actually. You get a barber chair, mirrors. Yeah, why not?
You can't just cut your hair in the mirror.
Personal water filtration system.
All right, need good water.
for 3.3.
Need good water.
It's not that's not a lot of money. I get it. But in Ohio, that's a lot of money. Not like that.
That's a lot of money.
$3.5 million
is a lot of money.
I get it. But to buy a fortress.
What are y'all talking about?
Jay.
Y'all in different worlds,
Jay,
man.
Jay want to make sure that everybody who's listening to us out there in the world driving to work understands that $3.5 million is
Jay's a man of the people.
Yes, I played Jay, 1 year in the league. I didn't have long-term deals like y'all, man. It's different. That's a lot. That's a massive home. Yes. No,
that's what I'm saying. That was $3.3 million in the 50s.
Compared to L.A. and New York. That's what I'm saying. It's not the same.
He also tweeted, I will be back.
He wouldn't even get the shoe closet in L.A.
You get that. Wow, this closet was only $3.5 million. I will be back, tweeted OBJ. I don't know when, period, where, period, but I will, period, be, period, back.
A lot of periods.
A lot of ellipses and all kinds of stuff. Ellipses. If I say ellipses, people won't know what I mean. They know what I mean. So if you're going to be back, to Cleveland? So why are you selling that house?
Key, I'm going to put you on something. I'm reading an article right now that says Odell Beckham Jr. has 1,400 diamonds on one of his shoes. So this is what I'm trying to tell you, dog. Because I pay attention to all this. You know me. I'll be all in Twitch, all in TikTok, all in Twitter, all in IG. 1,400 diamonds on a shoe. So don't try to tell me that he ain't out here buying off-whites, buying all these different types of shoes, man.
What was the show where they had Hammer going broke and he said he didn't know that, like, he bought a gold house with all kinds of wild stuff, and on a hill, and he built it out of gold? 1,400 diamonds on a shoe? Come on, Odell.
I'm just trying to tell you, man. It's a different world out here, man.
What show
was it? No one remembers the skit I'm talking about?
I personally don't believe that OBJ got 1,400 diamonds?
1,494 to be exact.
Yeah, I don't think they real diamonds on the shoe.
He got them done by a shoe surgeon.
They're dimels? What are they?
He got them by a shoe surgeon.
I don't give a damn. I don't believe that OBJ would put 1,400 real diamonds on a football.
A shoe surgeon? What, he went put to a medical diamond school in his for tooth, that?
He would put a diamond on the shoe. Just saying.
Will three defensive linemen be taken with the first three picks? Is that what's about to happen? Find out tonight. The 2022 draft, NFL draft, is on ESPN Radio. First round coverage begins at 7 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Is it about to happen to Doc Rivers again?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Boy, the Sixers look like they had this series no problem. When it started, oh, it's like an even series. Then, oh, pardon us. They're going to roll Toronto. Uh-oh. No, maybe not. Maybe they're not going to roll Toronto. Hey, wait. Hasn't Doc lost a lot of series leads? Doc Rivers, 76ers head coach, at press conference on his struggles maintaining leads in series. Listen to Doc.
Well, it's easy to use me as an example, but I wish y'all would tell the whole story with me, all right? My Orlando team is the eighth seed. No one gives me credit for getting up against the Pistons who won the title. That was an eighth seed. Go look at that. I want you to go back and look at that roster. I dare you go back and look at that roster, and you would say, what a hell of a coaching job. Really. I mean, the Clipper team that we lost 3-1. Chris Paul didn't play in the first two games and was playing on one leg. And we didn't have home court. And then the last one, to me, is the one we blew. That's the one I said, we blew that. Now, it was in the bubble. And anything could happen in the bubble. There's no home court. Game 7 would have been in L.A., you know. But it just happened. So I would say with me, some of them is I got to do better always. I always take my own responsibility. And then some of it is circumstances happen. You know, this one, let's win it, and we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, like Jay, he's making good points in the sense that it's not the whole story, but I think a lot of people feel like, yeah, Doc, you're a top 15 all-time coach, supposedly. A lot of the part of the story you want told has been told, and now people are focusing on the part of the story where you lost 7 of your last 8 with an opportunity to close out a series. Your 31 losses in those games, closeout games, because, you know, you could, if you're up 3-1, you have 3 chances to close it out. You lose all 3. He had 31 chances in those games. It's already the most by a coach in NBA history. He's the only coach to ever blow 3-1 series leads. So, he's right. It's not the whole story, but it's becoming a bigger and bigger part of the story.
Look, I love Doc Rivers as a person, and I think he is a good coach. But honestly, he makes good points, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. We are people that live in a world, what have you done for me lately, correct? And if I look at what Doc Rivers has done for me lately, he lost a 3-1 lead, right, with the Clippers. You saw a picture on the bench, him, Ty Lue, Sam Cassell. It's not like he didn't have a good staff, right? You saw Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, literally not back him, Steve Ballmer, have him removed from the Clipper organization. He goes to Philadelphia, and then, I mean, think about what we saw there. We saw they were up 18 points in game 4 against the Hawks. They had a 26-point lead in the third quarter in game 5 against the Hawks, and they squandered that series as well. So what have you done for me lately, Doc? You haven't done anything for me. And you have a 3-0 lead against Toronto, and Fred VanVleet is not even playing, and you're going back to Toronto for game 6 where you're a 1.5-point favorite, which pretty much means that's a pick 'em on the, like, yes, things are getting tight. We are going to ask you these type of questions. So I hear you trying to defend yourself, but just go out and win the damn games. You go out and win the damn games, everything else take care of itself.
Yeah, I don't know why he felt the need to have to defend himself. I mean, he knows exactly what transpired and took place in those 3-1 collapse games that he had. I think what's happening, though, is he feels that pressure, and he sees it coming because he has rabbit ears. He listens to sports talk radio, I'm sure. People are telling him. He picks up the Philadelphia newspapers. He sees headlines, but he also remembers those 3-1 collapses. And now, all of a sudden, Toronto got a game on you, and now it looked different. Now you feel, these people in Philadelphia are getting ready to run me out of here, so I need to answer and try to figure out how to remind them that I have had bad teams and I was able to coach good. But quite frankly, in Orlando, they were the 8th seed, but the team wasn't awful. I mean, Tracy McGrady was on that team. And I believe Tracy McGrady was still at the height of his career at that particular time. So, much like you say, Jay, just win, man. Yep. Just win the game.
I got to say,
guys. Don't even worry
about
it. Just win it. Win the game. That's all you got to do.
I got to say, I'm a Doc Rivers fan. Yes. I like the cut of his jib, you know, like from back since when he was a point guard with the Knicks, right? I'm just a Doc Rivers fan. There's something I don't want to use the word that I'm thinking of, right? There's something I'll say to me, it makes me sad when I hear him defending himself like this because he sounds like a guy who thinks the series is already lost. You're defending yourself as a coach. If you like what you guys are saying, like what Key just said, if you're going to like just keep playing, win the series, why are you dressing your coaching abilities simply because people are pointing out in the media that you've had a bunch of collapses up in series? It feels to me like here it comes again. I have to start explaining myself. And it makes me sad as a fan of his. It's like, to me, it's like a not coming from a position of strength.
Doc sounds like he's about to cry. I'll be laughing.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like somebody who you feel like is getting close to the end.
Yes.
Like it really does. And I hate to say that for Doc, but Key, like, think about. For as good as Philly was, and then we're seeing kind of like this downward trend to a degree, we've had Joel Embiid point fingers at other people. He has the thumb injury. We have James Harden, who feels like he's a shell of himself from what he was before. Even though he's averaging 18-9, he's shooting 37% from the field. You need him tonight due to Joel's injury to take over, but you're wondering whether he could take over. And then you got Doc on a national scene trying to defend his resume. Who's focused on the game? Who's focused on the game tonight?
That's what I'm saying, guys. It sounds like when Key said it sounds like, look, the word I want to use, I can't use because
what was the
I
word? Guess
now because I'm you're a little well, too empathetic.
Yes, I'm a little too empathetic.
What was the
pathetic.
Word?
I'm, a little,
I'm the
being
word.
A little too
I want to know the word. You said this twice now.
I'm being a little too empathetic.
Oh, got it.
To use the word I want to use. Pathetic, to use the word I want to use.
Yes.
You understand what
Got
I'm saying?
Yes.
I can't. I feel exactly like he said. Like it feels like he's choking up almost. It feels
it certainly. If you listen to the start of the clip, it sounds like he's about to cry. I'm like, oh man, don't do this to me. Don't start crying, trying to defend yourself as a coach when you know you're a good coach and you've gotten situations. You won a championship with the Big Three. You are a good coach. That's why every single time you're available, somebody grabs you and makes you their head coach because they know you're a good coach. You just got to finish the deal.
Key, just listen to the tone of his voice off the jump. Listen to it.
Well, it's easy to use me as an example, but I wish y'all would tell the whole story with me, all right? My Orlando team is the 8th seed. No one gives me credit for getting up against the Pistons who won the title. That was an 8th seed. Go look at I want you to go back and look at that roster.
Key, you know when you get caught for something and you say, well, what happened was fine. Like, let me just go back into this deep bag and start explaining to you the details of all this stuff that really nobody really remembers because people remember what's happened recently.
By the way, it wasn't a great roster.
No one gives me credit.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a great roster, Jay.
15 greatest coach of all time.
Jay.
He's got named that this All-Star break.
We went back and looked because he said go back and look at the roster. And I didn't remember it as a good team. And it wasn't a deep, good roster. He did have Tracy McGrady in his prime. I mean, that's a pretty good player, right? He was an MVP caliber player at the time. Like, it's not like, and you should be able to get to the 8th seed and, you know, but the fact is still, it's a lot of collapses, man.
No, it is, it feels, like I said before, just, it feels like he can feel something. But whatever that something is, he's got to do a better job at coaching his way out of it and not giving us this nobody's giving me credit and sort of kind of feeling like, you know, nobody's giving me credit and you know, I just, poor me, I had the bad team in Orlando. And so, you know, that just doesn't sound right, Jay, so to speak.
Key, man, Max, how many – closeout scenarios, did you say, 31?
Well, because if you're up 3-1, you have three shots to close it out. So he's lost, you know, in 10 series, if you collapse 3-1,
the math, Jay.
31 times he could close out a series.
So I have it, Key. Right? Let's go through it. 2009, Celtics versus Magic, they were up 3-2, lost it. 2010, Celtics versus Lakers, up 3-2 in the NBA Finals, lost it. 2012, Celtics versus Heat, up 3-2, lost it. 2015, Clippers versus Rockets, up 3-1, we talked about that. 2016, Clippers versus Portland, up 2-0, lost that. And then 2020,
ain't that the trip, how they put the numbers together to make it sound the same way?
I mean, first of all, you got to be a good coach to be up in those series in the first place. Like, let's tell the whole story, like he says. Be fair to Doc, you're an excellent coach because you were up in all those series. On the other hand, part of the whole story is the teams did collapse.
I guess it poses a question too, Key. Like, you're a great coach, but are you a great coach under pressure? Under pressure.
Are they going to win tonight, Jay?
I don't think they win tonight. I don't see a resolve. Alan Yates and I were talking about this before the show started. Did you see this video of them, like, throwing the football, joking around?
And nobody want to see that, yo. Nobody want to see that at all, yo.
It's wild. You're like, yo,
what are you doing in that joint, yo?
But, Key, I know everybody's having funny.
You got to relax. You chilling. There's no – mind off the negative. You that's what you do. You know, guys, when I was a player, when I was stressed out before a game or whatever – I isolate myself. I might go walk around the town. I remember I drove from San Diego. We had an off day. I drove from San Diego all the way up to Santa Barbara just to get away for about 4 hours, okay? Just to get away because that's what you do as an athlete. You try to find something to remove your mind off of whatever it is that's bothering you at that time. There's nothing wrong with that, Yates. I get it as a fan. You don't want to see it. You're like, why are you not shooting basketballs? That's just what happens.
But Key, even in your words, it don't even look right. Like, him throwing the football don't even look like it. You know what I mean? I want to see you shooting a corner three or something. I want to see you tossing the ball to some trainer. It don't look right, Key. I'm not feeling
people,
it.
But some people go to the movies. Some people Key, go to the movies. Some people go
I would rather him
dinner.
Go to Delilah's and chill than play football in the stadium, bro.
I don't know about that.
Go get your focus on.
I can't co-sign Delilah's before the game. Whoa,
they're in. Where's this game at?
This one's in Toronto.
It's in they got better places. They got better places.
Yeah, then yeah. Anyway,
they got better places.
Key, I'm saying, though, I hear what you're saying about. I could name some places, but I will not go down this road right now in Toronto. But all I'm saying is that T-Dot. Is that when you have to look at the history of it too, though, Key. It's the fact that I see how people can get angry at the video because you're really wondering, yo, who's leading this team?
But you can't do that, Jay.
But why, Key? Look,
you've been in the building before. You know that is what people do to take their mind off of things.
Okay.
You know that.
Key, if they lose... If they lose tonight, then I want you to tell me how it all looked if they lose tonight.
Yeah, but that ain't got nothing to do with them losing.
How you prepare for a game tells me
but
how you're going to play in a game.
They've already prepared.
Are they?
Just because they're throwing a football around. Y'all need to stop.
They came out flat at home in a closeout game.
I get that.
So it's one thing to say, hey, they might be prepped for the game, but are you really mentally prepared for a game? But I saw a team that wasn't mentally prepared to play in a closeout game at home. They came out flat. They were lollygagging around. Like, these things, man, they transition.
Don't do that, though.
Don't do what?
If they throw on a football around,
I'm not
what
just
the
saying,
hell does
but,
that
but
have
you're
to
making
do
it just
the
about
game?
The football. I'm saying it's a whole body of work, Key. It's what the whole thing looks
no,
like.
No, I didn't make it about the football. You guys brought it up. Yates said, oh, they throw the football.
But, Key,
I don't see
after
that.
A lot symptom, of collapses, man. After a lot of collapses, I think it is fair. Whether it's right or wrong, Key, it's fair for some people to say, hold on, wait a minute. You've had a whole bunch of collapses, and now I see your team at least giving outward indicators that they don't understand how serious it is. Now, you might say, Key,
staying loose
is important.
Is extremely important.
Well, here's another angle for you, Jay. I wonder what you think about this. Doc, because of what he did in Boston, became a highly sought-after coach, right? And as a result, he keeps winding up on teams that whether or not they're actually championship caliber teams, they have some star players, and not mercenary may not be exactly the right word, but they want to bring in a big brand name coach who they like. He keeps winding up in those situations, as opposed to someone like, in this case, say Nick Nurse, who's in a Masai Ujiri organization, who's not just jumping, grabbing flashy names, but building a team a certain way. And so the expectations aren't as high. And you're in actually a more conducive situation to winning.
You're a Lakers fan, right?
Yeah.
The last time the Lakers won a championship, who was one of the monumental pieces on that team that played for Doc Rivers?
That played for Doc?
Mm-hmm.
The last time was in the bubble.
Yep. Do you know who the point guard was? Do you remember?
Rondo.
Rajon Rondo. Yep. Low-key understated, you ask anybody in the basketball world, that dude is a genius.
Yeah.
Now, he may rub people the wrong way.
High
but
basketball.
Talking to Ray Allen, talking to Paul Pierce. Ray Allen was like a big brother to me when I got drafted to the Bulls. Used to go down to his house in Milwaukee. Paul Pierce and I did NBA Countdown together. I've known KG for a long time. They always rave about in-game adjustments on the court, how Rondo would take things over. It even led to a feud between Rondo and Doc Rivers. So even look what Rondo brought to the Cleveland Cavs this year.
Sure.
Right? Like that leadership helps and goes a long way. Doc hasn't had somebody like that on his roster to help him in those moments.
No coach wins without that dude.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, that's a major point that we don't really bring up around
but
so, Doc
but that's
Rivers
not on
that
Doc. In that case, that's not on Doc, right? Like, in other words, there's no – a coach needs his muse on the floor. Phil Jackson needed Jordan or
but
Kobe.
I'm saying that elevated Popovich Doc to needed get to that Duncan. Championship. It elevated him. So there is something about it when you have a guy on the court that can help you navigate. He hasn't had a dude like that on his team. So, like, yeah, Nick Nurse hasn't ever had a dude like that to a degree. He's had to scrap. He's had to be – it's come from a different perspective. You know what I mean?
But doesn't that help Doc's case, though? If you're saying that Doc doesn't have a guy like that, well, that's part of the formula, right?
It is part – but also, like, you want your coach to draw up things. And, like, it doesn't – you want your coach to be that player as well on the court.
It's my understanding from what you're saying, but it's my understanding generally – that great coaches always have that extension of themselves on the field. Key, right? Like if they're going to win championships, you go to like any Bill Belichick, obviously Tom Brady, Joe Torre, Derek Jeter. But sometimes it doesn't have to be that high profile a guy, but it has to be some kind of an extension. You had to be Coach K's guy out there for him to win a championship. He needed an extension of himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Doc doesn't have that.
I mean, I don't see him having it on this team.
Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. All right, let's get to another series in the Eastern Conference.
Okay, I just want to say something very quickly.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear excuses right now about what you don't have, Max.
Yep.
Like when you blown leads, nobody wants to hear excuses.
Well, it sounds like excuses now, for sure.
This was a lot of our guys' first rodeo, just understanding what it's like to compete in a playoff series. You know, there's so much you can learn from that experience, especially going against the defending champ.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we came up short, but I thought, you know, the first two games, you know, we played really well.
They obviously outplayed us in the series, and they're world champions, and, you know, they're moving on, and, you know, all the credit goes to them for how well they played.
Defending champs. Trying to make their title defense, knock out the Bulls in five games. 116-100 was the score. What should the Bulls do going forward? DeMar DeRozan was double-teamed 27 times. That's the most doubles a single player seen in a playoff game in the last three seasons. Bulls eliminated, obviously. Haven't won a playoff series since 15, Jay. What happens now?
You secure Zach LaVine. He's going to get offseason surgery. He's been playing on a hurt knee pretty much the whole season. You secure that asset. You look on the market. A guy like Bruce Brown will be available. I think for the Nets, he might be tapped out considering you're going to have three guys. They're making $50 million. I like an additional piece like that due to his size, his length. You bring Lonzo Ball back. DeMar DeRozan's back for another year. And you look to see what you can get in replacement for Vooch. Like I've said this before, maybe Rudy Gobert married Carl Anthony Towns. I'm not sure Minnesota will let that go. But a guy like that with Zach LaVine, with the DeMar DeRozan, that's a championship contender. Mm.
If they brought Towns onto that team, then you'd really be doing a real-world experiment. Can you have a certain personality type at a lot of different positions? No matter how high-pitched the talent is, can you win a championship without a guy with a different kind of mentality? Like, who's the jerk on that team?
Lonzo Ball.
I guess he'd have
Carl Anthony Towns, to a degree.
I don't think Towns fits the description.
Yeah, maybe not like in the way you want him to, but he's starting to become that villain. He's kind of owning that type of energy lately.
Does Steph Curry have anything to gain winning another title? Plus, much more on what the Bulls need to do going forward next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.